What up, guys? Lisa here. Today on Relationship Theory, Tom and I discuss the clash of our values. Now, guys, if you're listening and you find yourself in frequent disagreements and arguments with your partner, and you're constantly looking to figure out the root cause of the argument but don't seem to, this episode is for you. Tom and I sit down and discuss in depth how we were able to overcome our disagreements to actually get to the bottom of what's causing the problem in the first place, because that, guys, that is going to be the key to overcoming long-term disagreements. We discuss how our values are different and how we properly navigate those and handle the disagreements when they arise, when and how to persuade your partner, and how to be open to your partner's perspective without shutting them down. So guys, lean back and welcome to a special edition of Relationship Theory.
Don't ever say like the other person shouldn't be feeling something, right? Because you feel it and it's real, and there's nothing anyone could ever tell you that's going to make that seem less valid. Like, I'm going through it. I'm feeling it right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Relationship Theory. Hi. I'm your co-host, Tom Bilyeu, and I'm here with Lisa Bilyeu.
Yes.
What is up,
homegirl? This question is from Lorena Padilla. How do you improve communication in having a lot of trouble communicating at a deeper level with my partner? Both of us have a lot of work and other activities. I feel so far from him. Is there something you could recommend?
Yes. So it starts with finding a non-judgmental, non-threatening way to let him know that you need more time. So this happens to you with some frequency, not crazy, but, and you just say, I'm feeling distant right now. Mm-hmm. And so when you say that, because you're not abusive of it, because I know that like a lot is going to have to be happening for you to get to that stage, when you say that, then we say, okay, we've got to really schedule some time where it's just us. You know, when something like that happens, we may even cancel if we had like plans with somebody else on the weekend or something, we'd cancel that and just make the weekend just about you and I. 9 times out of 10, we would just do it at the house, but maybe then we even like do a quick little short getaway or something. Like, those are the times where you need to, and again, like, this is where we've talked about it in an emotionally sober state where she's not like feeling the burn. And she said, hey, there are times where I go through this and I do feel a bit distant and I want to reconnect. And how would you like me to express that to you? So even that, like, we agree ahead of time, like, how do I want that expressed? What's that magic phrase that I want to hear? And we agreed on, I'm feeling distant. And the reason I think that word works for us is then you like want to come back together. Mm. Like, you want to be close.
Physically as well.
Right. There needs to be physical closeness. There needs to be communication, no distractions. Really like changing the routine, breaking the routine, whatever you need to do to make sure that you come together. And then quite frankly, we've built into our routine prophylactics against that. And so even though I tease her about the synchronized mastication,
eating.
Right. We eat together on the weekends, especially. Like, I make sure that we do that. So, and almost always, not always, always, but almost always, we eat dinner together every night. So even if I just like break away for 20 or 30 minutes to eat dinner and then I go back to work, like, we will take that time. We'll sit together. We'll chat. And doing those two things. So one, just sort of proactively trying to build things into your schedule and things that are respectful of what each of you need to make sure that you're getting that. And here's a great quote. Women need to feel loved to have sex. Men need to have sex to feel loved. That was very beneficial for you and I to really understand sort of how we're coming at that.
But really beneficial to understand.
Yeah. So making sure that you're talking about these things and always doing that in a sober state. So, and when I say sober, I mean emotionally sober. So don't try to have the conversation when you're feeling it and you're feeling neglected and feeling distant and all of that. In those moments, you really need to put the things together that are, one, fun. So don't come at it from like a place of, I can't believe you've left me feeling distant. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to just, okay, set that aside for a minute. What could we do together that would be really fun? What would we enjoy? Do that, get into like a happier, brighter place. And from there, you can discuss, like, how do we prevent this from happening in the future? What are the words that I can do that are non-judgmental, non-confrontational, that you agree, like, this is the phrase that I want to hear so that we know what the trigger is? And then, you know, just talk through it. And then this is where I feel compelled to remind people that selection is the most important decision you will ever make in the relationship. So if you're dealing with somebody who's fixed mindset, who doesn't want to talk, who rolls their eyes at you every time that you want to talk about something, that's already problematic from a selection standpoint. And conversely, if you have somebody who it's like never enough and like they're just in like a bad loop and they can't break out of it and like realize that there are going to be times where you're going to need to be separate. And so they're very abusive of the like, well, this is what I need. And so you need to give it to me. And like, that would be a nightmare. And we've all met people like that, that are emotional succubi, and they're just draining. And it's like, God, they're never in a good mood. It's always negative. It's always pessimistic. Like that too would get really, really old. So make sure that you select somebody that fits your natural style. It's not necessarily helpful if you're already in a relationship, but I'm a huge fan of if you're in a relationship that is dysfunctional at like a core fundamental level, not from a tactics level, because the tactics you can always change, but from a core fundamental, like this person has a fixed mindset, they live in a hostile universe. So like Einstein said, the most important decision any of us have to make is whether or not you live in a hostile or friendly universe. And it's a decision. It's just a choice you make, right? Mm-hmm. It's neither. But you decide that, hey, this is a world where things work for me. Things are coming together to try to help me. And you're essentially optimistic. Or are you pessimistic? I couldn't be with somebody who was a fixed mindset and pessimistic. I'm not spending my time in that universe.
Yeah. And going back to what you were saying about doing it when you're emotionally sober and stuff, a big thing that was like, we can now predict the pattern, right? Because it is a pattern.
Right.
I know that if we go, let's say, 2 full weekends in a row where I haven't felt like me and you have spent real quality time together, whether it's 1 or 2 hours just sitting outside eating our food or whatever, like I now can foresee it will start to drain on me. Right. And then what will happen is I will start to look for things, ways to see if you're paying attention, right? And it will then go into, like, let's say we haven't really hung out for a while and I dress up really nice and you don't say anything. Then you not saying anything actually like really upsets me even more, because now I'm holding on to some attention. Like I'm searching for it and you don't give it to me. Now, 2 weeks before that, I may not have thought twice about it. I may be like, yeah, I think I look good and I feel good. And so it doesn't matter if you say anything to me. But a couple of weeks down the line, if you've been really busy and then that happens, my reaction is going to be different.
Can I break your rhythm? I don't know if you were done there, but
I wasn't done, but remind me of pattern.
Pattern?
Yeah.
So there's something really important that I want people to hear. Like, she'll actually articulate it just like that. Like, she'll maybe get annoyed or something, and I'll be like, whoa, like, what was that? And then you'll actually go, you know what? Here's what it is. And that is, I think, our secret power as a couple. Being able to go, maybe what I'm feeling is petty, fine, but this is actually what I'm feeling, and to articulate it calmly and in like detail. And if you just listen and don't judge the other person and don't say, well, you shouldn't be feeling like that, right? And that was something that we talked about
that
very
was
early
big,
on. Like, don't ever say like the other person shouldn't be feeling something, right? Because you feel it and it's real, and there's nothing anyone could ever tell you that's going to make that seem less valid. Like, so I'm going through it. I'm feeling it right now. And so we don't judge each other when the emotion is petty, when it's aggressive, when it's whatever. It's like, okay, cool. I'm so grateful that you've articulated that to yourself, to me, and now like we can meet on common ground. And like you always say this, you start with one fundamental question. Does that person love me? Okay, they love me. Awesome. If they love me, I know they're coming, like maybe they're just in a weird place right now, whatever, but they love me. So this isn't an attack. This isn't them trying to hurt me or bring me down. Like, they're trying to get me to understand something. So I'll come at it from that perspective and let's, you know, find that common ground. All right, pattern.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I just basically look at patterns now, right? And go, how do I prevent this? Because that's the one thing, is that sometimes people get into arguments or they butt heads. They may kind of resolve it in the moment, but then they don't think about, how do I prevent this in the future? Because having the same argument or the same problem over and over and over and over and over again is just like, it's a waste of energy. It's a waste of time that you could be spending bonding and improving, getting better as a couple. And so we really do that. Like, once we've gone through, whether it's an argument or a disagreement or whatever, we'll then assess, like, how do I prevent this next time? And it's about pattern recognition, I think, right? It's about saying, well, I know that 2 weeks in a row, if I don't see him, if his schedule is really busy, I start to feel the burn. Even when I'm feeling amazing and our relationship is like really super tight, it's like I tell myself, don't be naive to think that you're not going to feel the burn again. And so if I see that your schedule is starting to get backed up, I'll come to you and say, look, how can we spend an hour together? How can we spend 2 hours together? What, you know, your schedule is going to be so busy over the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be important to me that we spend time together. And then you'll absolutely reciprocate on that one. You'll be like, absolutely, you know, and you'll burn the house to the ground versus cancel on whatever that thing is that we've kind of decided is going to be our joining moment. And that's massive, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. So communicating, being honest about how you're feeling, and then going back to the pettiness, like just being, if I do recognize that I'm being somewhat unreasonable, or it's like you've got all this pressure and now I'm just adding pressure to you, it's about like you still understanding where I'm coming from versus dismissing me. I think that's really important.
Mm.
Like, don't dismiss the way the other person's feeling, even if you don't feel like there's a reason for it, if you know what I mean.
Right.